You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Mike and Leanna, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Leanna, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the RHAP B&B for episode 11 of Survivor Island of the Idols. My name is Mike Bloom, still recovering from all our Thanksgiving feasts, which elicited a bigger reaction from our families than certainly the ones that the castaways gave Jeff Probst when he revealed that splendorous breakfast. We're here to take a big bite into this Thanksgiving episode of Survivor Island of the Idols with a lot of stuff to talk about, and hopefully the episode will not bite us back like the chicken did with Sandra. Let me welcome in the co-host of the B&B, Leanna Morris. Leanna, how are you?
I'm good. So we are recording this on a Saturday. My family decided to celebrate Thanksgiving, truly the American way to do it, on Black Friday. So we were making jokes all day that was like, oh, we're actually celebrating Black Friday. Let's go consumerism. So here we are, ready to talk about Survivor, still recovering, though, from all of the massive amounts of food we had yesterday.
Yeah, the tryptophan must have really just like laid you guys out into what should be a long weekend. So I appreciate the fact you sort of roused yourself from your sleep to be able to cover this episode.
Have they ever had a turkey reward on Survivor? Do you know?
I don't think so.
Okay, because they should do a turkey and red wine reward. I would just love to see the effects of that. Maybe for a merge feast.
Yeah, well, I know that back in the days they used to film, during the fall instead of back to back, to the point where I believe Dina Burnett from Rob's season had tweeted out that, you know, they celebrated Thanksgiving in the Amazon. But speaking of welcoming people in to dine with us, we are so happy to welcome this guy back. You may know him from those mean streets of reality TV Twitter, and we're so happy to bring this guy back. Aman Adwin, how you doing?
I am great. Also, coming down from the high of the Thanksgiving festivities. It was a good one this year. I had lots of fun, lots of food, lots of friends. Not enough sleep, but, you know, that's fine.
You got your F's in. That's all that matters.
Right.
So the friends, food, something, that sounds like the live, laugh, love or whatever thing that people put out. But I like yours, Aman, better. It's like food, friends, not enough sleep. That should be the third one.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I feel like I have to go ahead and get those posters and wall displays ready. Yeah. Now, like, I feel like this is like a $1 million idea.
You're welcome.
Thanks,
yeah,
Leanna.
Get up.
Yeah, that's like, yeah, it's like back in the day of like, what, 3 years ago, when everyone decided to do a take on Keep Calm and Carry On.
Yes.
Before that, when they were doing the parodies of the Red in parentheses stuff. Mm. Like, it's just a trend that we just keep sort of circulating throughout. And maybe it's so out of trend, the live, laugh, love, that this could be a comeback.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I'm down for it. I am.
Well, before we start papering these walls with Aman's new catchphrase, I want to go to you to get your thoughts on this season. Yet another very interesting episode is what has proved to be a very interesting season, especially given the wake of the events from the 2 hour merge. But it's tough to ask your thoughts on the season as a whole, just because it's been so sort of piecemeal, but what have been your thinkings on season 39 so far?
Okay, so season 39, I definitely entered the season a lot like everyone else, sort of like, you know, let's get to season 40. This is like cannon fodder, in my opinion. Like, what are we doing? Like, I want to see all the greats play again. I'm not really trying to check for this season. And then we had, you know, a nice sort of beginning, lots of interesting dynamic characters and people. And the strategy seems to sort of, you know, really be employed by a lot of these players. So that was really, really cool. So I was like, okay, I'm on, you know, give it a chance, calm down. But it also still sort of like falls under that it's so early in the game that it's hard for me to really memorize people's names and what tribes they've been on and stuff like that. So it was tough in the beginning. And then I think we all sort of had like a very sobering moment with the whole thing with Dan and Missy and Janet and Elizabeth, which I feel like CBS and Survivor, they tried to handle that with grace and with, you know, care. They fell short on a few things. I don't think we really need to belabor. I feel like you guys have done a good job of talking about it, and Rob with Shannon, and also Lita with Taryn. If you guys haven't checked that out, please do. I'm sure you have already. Yeah, it was sort of like okay, this season is, you know, this is unfortunately what this season might be known for now. So I feel like at this point in time, I'm sort of like watching, but through my hands, you know what I mean? Like through like covering my eyes. Like I'm just sort of like, oh, what's going to happen next? I'm like, I'm cringing already and I'm scared. Well, how do you like come back from this? But it seems like, especially with this last episode, it seems like they're sort of just like, okay, well, let's just get right back into the super things of the game. And it's a very, very strange and like, I don't know. It's a weird season because there's so many tonal shifts throughout. And I'm having a hard time of like trying to figure out how I feel about it narratively. But at the same time, these players do really seem to be here to play and to you know, win the money. So I applaud them for that. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not really sure if season 39 is the season that I really would want to go back and watch after this. But it's a good time nonetheless.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. I think it's really hard because, you know, I was having fun with the season up until, you know, we really had sort of the culmination of the Dan stuff with Kelly and Jamal, like that episode, that double episode, just in my head, I can't get rid of it. And so it really sours watching the rest of this season because I just want to make fun of Dean for making a fake of a fake legacy advantage. And it's written so terribly. It's so funny. The goat army, like everything is just like, I just want to like laugh and have fun. And I do, you know, but then there's that little thing in the back of my head that's reminding me of like, you know, what we've witnessed and what we've experienced and potentially where this could be going. So yeah, it's I get it. It's like you're having a hang up almost in like enjoying the season.
Yeah, and it's hard. I think one of the things that makes it a little harder is, I mean, I love social media. I love Twitter. I do. And so I always, you know, reality TV and social media really go hand in hand. I really have to consume both at the same time to get a full experience. Mm. And so it makes it harder because a lot of other people, you know, feel the same way, and people will harp on the same issue, which, you know, which I understand. It's, you know, it's justifiable. I get it. I really do. But it makes it harder, that much harder to move on. It was so nice to hear Matt Hoffman speak on the podcast last time, because he really isn't one that, you know, is as in tune with social media as a lot of us are. So it was really interesting to see his perspective as someone who's not, you know, consuming it as rapidly as somebody like me is. And sometimes I do wish, I was like, well, maybe if I just stayed offline and I just, you know, watch the show for what it was, maybe it'd be a bit more enjoyable, because you wouldn't have the same tweets coming back over and over again, you know, wanting to talk about the issue, which once again, like, I get people that want to talk about it, but it is, I mean, I echo you, Liana, in that sometimes you just want to, you want to watch Survivor and you don't want to have to deal with things like that. But at the end of the day, Survivor literally is just a bunch of real people playing a game. And so problems that happen in the real world are going to manifest themselves in the game. And it's an unfortunate reality when it occurs. But what can you do? I mean, that's kind of what makes reality TV so, you know, captivating to watch in the first place. And I think that we just, you know, we just got dealt a pretty crappy hand this time around. But, you know, you get some good ones, you get some bad ones, and you just keep moving.
Yeah, I totally see where both of you are coming from, especially with this idea of like, there is something in the back of your head of, okay, even though the castaways have seemed to really jump into the game, and there's certainly a lot of interesting stuff in this episode. You mentioned Dean's fake advantage. We've got, obviously, Lauren's betting. We've got the, like, pseudo-advantage get-in. Like, it'll be more so like an advantage bomb that was dropped, an A-bomb on the tribal council between Dean playing his fake advantage and then Christian playing her idol and Lauren playing hers. What is so interesting to me about the Thanksgiving episode in particular is that I watch this usually with my in-laws on Wednesday night, and it's sort of like you have to sort of, you know, pat your tummy and rub your head at the same time when it comes to like having to explain what's going on to them while simultaneously paying attention to what's on screen. But to your point, that sort of serves as like my own sort of weird Hoffman-esque bubble where I was, you know, I obviously wanted to explain the situation to them, but at the same time, I was so concentrating on, you know, how to describe exactly what the action on the screen was to them that I almost couldn't focus on everything that had happened in the past. It almost allowed me to forcibly stay in the moment because I was playing translator at the time as to whatever the heck was going on.
Yeah, right. You describe this, you're like, okay, wait, how do I describe this in a way that makes sense?
Yeah, or even the fact that, like, okay, who are these two people sitting in this little hut, little shed from Home Depot, and why are they talking, and who might they be? And also, like, why does this guy have two pieces of paper? And, okay, wait, are they supposed to be excited about the breakfast? This felt like a particularly complicated episode to explain to someone who's just entering the franchise at
Well, first of all, good on you for actually trying to explain. So my mom was there when I was watching the episode, and when Boston Rob and Sandra popped up in their little hut, she was like, who are those people? And I was like, it's too complicated. Like, I'm not just I can't right now.
Yeah, well, then
I really, really love when I'm watching Survivor with new people, because I love explaining everything. I just love, like, I try and, like, it's like I just like envision it as like some sort of like spell that I have to cast over newcomers. And it's like, come on, please, like, enjoy this with me. You're going to get addicted just like me. Like, join me. This is the good side. This is the winning team. So I love watching Survivor with new people.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's good. I think for me, those are the moments. It's almost like, okay, so when somebody comes over to your house and you realize like how dirty it is, or like little things that you need to clean, like, I don't, maybe it was just me. Mm-hmm. Okay. But so when I was watching it, and I realized all these little things that are so ingrained in the fabric of Survivor, that if you truly are new to the show, how complicated it would be. Like, explaining the whole legacy advantage, you know, we kind of laugh when it's like they do the flashbacks, but it's like, it's so complicated. Like, because you have to remember. Yeah, you have to remember the legacy advantage. You have to remember that Jamal made the fake legacy advantage to give to Dean, and then Dean made the fake legacy advantage. Then the whole complexity of him playing it, knowing that it's fake, and then Jeff Probst being like, yeah, it's fake, and then Dean's like, oh, ho, ho, ho. But he knows.
Yeah, throwing the string up in the air, like, it doesn't matter where it comes down. I'm like,
But then he still thinks that his legacy advantage is real. So, like, oh, man, it's crazy.
I am very surprised that for all the flashbacks we got this episode, maybe Amon, they knew you were going to come on, because it basically felt like an episode of Big Brother. I wanted to see like the blue tint over the flashbacks. I'm surprised they didn't do one to what a legacy advantage was, because yeah, I mean, I know that Survivor is knows it has a very loyal fan base, so I'm a bit surprised that they made us assume that we knew what the legacy advantage was enough to have. I mean, I guess they had Dean Rhea basically saying, hey, this is an idol that's good for either the final nine or the final six. But it's interesting we didn't get at least a little bit of a, I don't know, maybe Jeff pulling everyone aside to be like, hey, here's a legacy advantage, like the narrator in Rocky Horror.
Yeah, right.
Do you guys think, and it's like sort of like a weird tangent, but do you think that Survivor has like a harder time? Because we know that Survivor does pretty, you know, well in the ratings. Like, it's like a constant thing. Do you think that they have a harder time collecting newer and younger fans for things like this? Because it is a bit esoteric, you know what I mean? There's so many advantages and so many, you know, legacy twists, if it were. Do you think they have a harder time, like, really holding on to newer people because of that? And that the people that have been watching the show are the same people that have been watching the show for, like, the past, like, two decades?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know what I mean? I wonder if Survivor I mean, it's hard to ask, like, there are new fans. I mean, we know through the RHAP community that there are people who are newer fans, but it seems like such a high barrier to entry. And that's what I was talking about. Was like, there's, you know, like Aman, like you said, there's just so much here. You know, how do you keep people interested in this? I mean, I think maybe it's just if you come across it and you're sort of fascinated by the dynamics, you're willing to stick around. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, and that's also a point that I think Rob has been making a lot, basically since like Millennials versus Gen X of the quote unquote meta era of Survivor, where I think in the past 32 seasons, except for your returning player seasons, Survivor has more so said like, okay, we know we have a bunch of history to call upon, but this is a specific season with a specific group of people, and we're not really going to tie it into any of the past action that's happened, to the point where some fans have complained about like, oh, you know, they make, you know, they talk about this accomplishment, but this was actually done in a previous season. And now, for some reason, we sort of have segued into this period where there are frequent mentions on air, and I don't know if it's because of the contestants they're casting, the show allowing these moments to air, or both, but, you know, there's frequent mentions of previous seasons. In fact, the aforementioned Ghost Island was based around the entire concept of relics from previous seasons. So, yeah, I would say that, like, it's weird to get people into modern, sort of, like, this era of Survivor from the jump. It could be, like, they watch an episode, they have no idea what's going on, and then you're like, okay, here's Survivor Pearl Islands. This is a much simpler and much easier to get into concept of what Survivor is. Because, yeah, I mean, this era of Survivor is almost relying on you to know some basic facts and terms about the show, whereas maybe even a few years ago, they wouldn't necessarily do that.
Yeah.
Right. I do feel like a few years ago, that there were like the seasons were very standalone, and you could just sort of like, because I mean, I got involved during season, was it like 18? Whatever, what was the season where Judd won? That's 17, 18? Or, no, that was 20.
Oh, yeah, just 21, Nicaragua. 20. I was like, Judd Sargent. So formal, Fabio, calling him by his God-given name.
I love names, so I never, like, the Fabio thing was always so weird to me. I just kept calling him Judd. I was like a rebel, but... Yeah, so those seasons back then were very, like, you know, you could, you know, it was like an anthology. You could just watch each season alone. You didn't really have to, I mean, unless it was an all-star season, of course, then you were sort of like, you know, had to catch up.
Oh, wait, I love this. So we can say that this was like, initial Survivor was like American Horror Story seasons like 1 through 7. And now we're starting to get into the weird era where like Ryan Murphy's crossing over a bunch of characters and trying to link them canonically.
I mean, that was, Ghost Island, right? Like, you have so many previous references, literally based around previous seasons.
Wow, it all makes sense now. Everything comes full circle. Well, let's start getting into a bit of this episode. And let's start with the person who ends up going here. You know, we thought that Elizabeth was in some hot water last episode and losing Aaron and Missy. But true to her swimmer nation, we thought maybe she'd be able to swim through that hot water. Evidently, doesn't seem like she did, though. Through unconventional means, it really does seem like Karishma was the intended target, and she just happened to get the bounce back from this weird vote split. But Liana, how did you think our Olympian was going to do preseason?
Okay, so Elizabeth, in her response to what type of soup are you, she said clam chowder. And I had Elizabeth making the finale. So there's not much for me to say about Elizabeth because the editors also didn't have much to say about Elizabeth. She got a purple edit and was only featured when she was crushing it in challenges. Like clam chowder soup in a soup bar, she was just kind of there. She was voted out in the finale without much fanfare. She can add her Survivor participation trophy to her Olympic participation trophies, which is really mean.
She's a medalist, Liana.
Yeah, I know.
She's like unimpressed.
Interesting. So again, I keep going back to Ghost Island, but you thought she was going to be the Chelsea of this season.
I really didn't think,
which ironically had a person named Chelsea on
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah, we had gotten those flashbacks. Yeah, I think I remember during her preseason interviews, I didn't find her particularly captivating. I thought that she would, you know, be an amazing physical competitor, which is why, you know, I said she would crush it in the challenges. But in terms of seeing much else from her, and after the first episode, I mean, remember the very first episode when she goes to Ghost Island and makes what I consider to be such an incredibly boneheaded decision to challenge Boston Rob when you see him make fire in like seconds right in front of you. I mean, I'm happy to be wrong that we got to see a little bit more from her. I mean, obviously, you know, I can't help but think about the Dan, you know, episode and her role in that. But she seems remorseful afterwards. So, you know, it was a little bit of a wild ride.
Yeah, and I will say, you know, I think there is certainly stuff to lambast Survivor for, especially this season. But I will say, I've been talking to Colin Stone about this. I feel like the editing this particular season is like, I don't know, like this is like an all-time high, in my opinion, to the point where Liana, I think you could say coming into the season, like, oh yeah, this person's going to get purple, this one isn't. I think by the end of this season, there is not going to be a quote-unquote purple person.
No.
To the point where I think some of us may have hoped that a certain person would get purpled if he had to stay in the game,
right.
But the edit has decided to focus so much on everyone's involvement in the storyline at the time that unfortunately that person's face remains on the screen.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting because I think that's a good point. I'm trying to think now, like, oh, if I had to pick somebody that had, you know, the quote-unquote purple edit, who would I pick? I have no idea. Yeah. No one.
I mean, I guess if you look back in retrospect, you could be like, oh, like, who are the big characters this season? I don't know if people would say, you know, Molly or, you know, Jason or anything like that. But they still had their moments where by the time we left, we're not like, who
right,
are
you
they?
Knew them.
Like, yeah, exactly. And that's what I feel like is sort of the difference in that it really does seem like to the point where I think everyone got a confessional in this episode and last episode as well. So, again, say what you want to about like the actual story that's happening on the island, but the story being told is very interestingly done. And if anything, at least shows us as much of people's perspectives as possible, or at least their commentary on the situation.
And you know what's extra crazy, too? This is the season with Sandra and Boston Rob where it's like, oh, great. No one's going to get any airtime because they're going to get all the airtime. And yet we have almost the reverse of that happening, which
right.
is kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that is sort of, now that I think about it, that I do appreciate that aspect about this season because it does seem to paint you a fuller picture of what's going on and just how nuanced situations can be, especially in regards to what happened in the last episode. So I feel like, or two episodes ago at this point, but I feel like it's a richer experience.
Mm.
If anything, I feel like that might be sort of why I've had like a harder time keeping track of who is who, because normally they sort of like spoon feed you, okay, these are the power players
right.
this season, these are the people that you need to pay attention to, but now it's, you know, that everybody has a turn, you know, it's
yeah.
so it's like it's harder to to grasp onto people. But I do like that it seems to be a more holistic mm-hmm. approach to the editing.
So I have very similar, at least from a longevity perspective, positive aspirations for Elizabeth. She was the third member of my prospective final three
Ooh.
With Missy and Jamal. I did think she'd get a bit more of them. I actually didn't think that she would win any individual challenges. It'd be like the big surprise, like the James Clement thing of like, oh, you look mm-hmm. super buff, but for some reason these challenges don't work for you. I did say she would have at least one breakdown over having to make a decision between her two alliances. And she also wins the final immunity challenge and then makes like the biggest deal out of who to take. You know, it's not such an easy decision for her. And I said her closest ally would be Missy and her worst enemy would be Elaine. It's so interesting because, yeah, she was the very first person I interviewed out there. And like one of the first things she told me, she's like, yeah, you know, I'm here to be as honest and loyal as possible. And after I saw the entire cast, I'm like, good luck, because this cast is a bunch of sharks. But I mean, I think from her reception, people might consider her one of the sharkier players when things are said and done, mm-hmm. given, you know, how she treated certain situations.
Yeah, I didn't read any of the like cast bios this time around. So all of I know, Cardinal Santa. When I first started watching the show, that was like the first impression that I got. And when I saw oh my goodness, I forget her name already.
Elizabeth.
What are we talking about? What's her name?
Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Elizabeth, there we go. She reminded me of Ashley from Survivor HHH.
Oh.
I thought I saw her like, you know, being a pretty physical player, getting pretty far into the jury, but getting voted out like just before the finals because, you know, of course she's, you know, such a big threat. So I really thought that she would have gone a little further. I mean, she got pretty far.
Yeah, with ninth place is what it turned out to be, I think.
Right, yeah. So I guess my prediction was Kind of.
Yeah, that's
kind
of true.
I think you had the most correct prediction out of the three of us, so I think that's something.
Yeah, you actually win. Congratulations. Oh, man.
So, Amon, as a prize for your newfound win in predicting how Elizabeth would do, we are granting you the opportunity, as per usual with our guests this season on the BNB, to teach us a lesson about any darn subject in the known world, or even the unknown world. What have you brought for us to nom on this episode?
Oh my god, so I would like, I wish there was more parameters, because I was like, oh my god, what am I going to teach them? Because I like to teach people things. You know what? I think I've been studying Japanese for the better half of my life, essentially. So I think I'm just going to give you guys a simple lesson in how to say, you know, good morning, my name is, and nice to meet you.
Wait, so we're burying the lead a little bit, because I at least had no idea about this. Can you explain a bit about your decision to study Japanese? Because that is so surprising.
Oh, So in middle school, I went to this school. It was it was a magnet program. It was an international baccalaureate curriculum. And typically, when you go into the middle school, that means you have already gone to an IB elementary school. That was not the case for me. So when I dropped in for middle school, you could either be in Spanish, French, German, or Japanese. And since I didn't have any other training, they typically just put people that didn't have a language training at all into Japanese. So literally from sixth grade until eighth grade, I took it. And then I continued with the IB program, ninth through 12th grade. And then I took 2 years of it in college. So I'm not fluent, which is such a shame. But I am like relatively conversational, and I can like watch anime and not necessarily need the subtitles all the time. And I can, you know, I can talk with some native speakers. But it's not as like sharp as I want it to be. So I've been getting back into it, but yeah, I'm slightly bilingual.
That's so cool.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And I feel like it's, I hear it more often now, which is so strange. I feel like if I didn't know Japanese, then I wouldn't have realized just how many Japanese speakers there are, like, in my life and in Philly. There are so many of them. And I don't know, like, being bilingual, it's like, it's such a weird tangent, but like, I don't know, just being bilingual, like, just really opens up the world to you in a lot of ways. Like, you can like actually understand people that are not speaking English. It's like, it's just like mind boggling. It's just like, oh my God, there are other people that exist and don't like speak my language. It's great. I don't know. It's just, it's amazing.
That's so cool.
All right, so yeah, I'll turn it over to you then. I'm so excited to learn another. This is our step, Liana, to us becoming bilingual. It's a very small step, but it's a step nonetheless.
Okay.
All right, so I promise it's very, very easy. Okay, so to say good morning, you would say Ohio, which sort of sounds like the state Ohio.
Ohio,
that's amazing. So, okay, Ohio. That's great, because people in Ohio are usually very polite and friendly, and they probably say good morning to you, Ohio.
Correct. So Ohio, if you were speaking with somebody that was older than you or had some form of status over you, whether it be a boss or something like that, you would say Ohio gozaimasu, which is sort of like an intensifier. So it's like, good morning, like very much. Like, so Ohio gozaimasu to someone older than you. And then you would say, for your name, you would say, watashi wa, which means I, or my name, or
watashi me.
Watashi
wa.
You'd say your name.
Liana.
So if Liana, watashi wa. Liana des. So des is sort of like is. So the syntax is a little weird for Japanese. Like is comes after you've already said what it is you're talking about. So watashi wa Liana des.
Watashi wa Liana des.
Okay, correct.
Watashi wa Mike des. It feels weird to have put my name in there. Like it feels like if there was any smokescreen of me not being from America, I feel like putting Mike in there is like a giveaway.
You have to say it like that too.
What Otashiwa Mike? Yes.
Well, they would have like a Japanese pronunciation for your name, so it'd probably be something like Mike. Like if we were going like full Michael, it'd be Mike Geru.
Oh.
And for Liana, you're pretty much, they don't really have L's in Japanese, but your name would be pretty like how much it sounds. It would just be, instead of an L, be an R, so it'd just be Rihanna.
Yes.
Ooh, I like this, because then people would think like, oh my god, it's Rihanna.
Yes.
She's here. She's saying good morning.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm gonna go with that.
Watashi wa Mike Oriana des, and then the last part is just dozo yoroshiku.
Dozo. Like, dozo, nice, how do you say it? Dozo oroshiku?
Dozo yoroshiku. So Y-O-R-O-S-H-I-K-U.
Yoroshiku.
Dozo yoroshiku.
Okay, so now we're ever on Survivor.
Putting it all together.
Someone speaks Japanese, we'll be ready.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's I don't know. I tried to. Ohio. I was like, what am I going to teach you guys? Because Mike or Matt was like, I thought you guys had to like survive a serial killer. I was like, oh my, I want something edgy like that. But
no,
then I was
but
like,
you're teaching us how to survive, you know, across the sea into other parts of the world. That's you know, they're both important in different ways.
Well, I'm glad to have been of assistance.
Yeah, no, seriously. Okay, so there are people on the TV show 90 Day Fiancé who do not speak a word of their partner's language. So I this is a big deal. Okay,
Oh my God, I've been wanting to watch that show for the longest time. I need to get into it.
Oh my God, you should watch. Okay, I'll send you Rex, but the most recent season of Before the 90 Days, the first episode is legit insane. It's so good. The setup of like three of the people is just crazy. So it's a good one to start with. But anyway, okay, I digress.
Before the 90 Days, is it that, do they film the 90, do they show the 90 Day Fiancé of these two people first and then go back? Or are they like, we know these two are going to be pretty bankable, so we're going to take care of Before the 90 Days first, and then we'll move forward with 90 Day Fiancé.
So I think it's separate. So essentially, it's the people who have not met. Well, the way they do it is you're supposed, like, the original way it was sold was you haven't met your significant other, so you've been chatting online or whatever, and then you're going to go and meet them for the first time. And so then people go on and do the regular 90 days, like they actually make it through, but most of them are disasters, so they don't.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, so we're talking like some people turn out like Obi-Wan Kenobi and some turn out like Mace Windu.
Yes.
In terms of like prequel into main series.
Exactly. Some make the transition and some don't. So, but anyway. Okay, so wait. So can we recap the words again, Amon? Ohio.
Yes. So Ohio. Or if it was to someone older than you, Ohio gozaimasu. Watashi wa Amon desu. Mm-hmm. Dozo. Yoroshiku.
Aw, okay, cool. So then I'll be able to say that and then nothing else. Gotta start somewhere, though. I should...
No, it's if you ever do run into somebody that speaks Japanese and you, even if you just said that little bit, they or at least the ones that I've come into contact with, I won't use a blanket statement, but like most of the Japanese speakers that I come into contact with whenever I... Usually I'll hear them speaking Japanese first and then I'll like chime in and their eyes just light up. They love it when someone else, you know, tries to like learn a bit about their culture and their language. And it's like, even if it's just the smallest amount, they'll give you so many, like they'll always like compliment you and you're like, oh my goodness, that was so good. So no matter how much it is, like it's a good step. Cool.
Yeah. Well, it also helps that you're saying very polite things too, right? Like if you said like, why do you smell so much? They'd be like, okay, I get you on trying to understand my language and connect with me, but at the same time, like, don't be so rude.
Some things are better left unsaid.
Oh my God. Okay, so I was trying to learn how to say that my dog smells in Farsi, and to say like she or he smells, Bumida is how you say it. So I've just been like walking around pointing at my dog and saying Bumida.
So and then if an old person criticizes how much your dog smells, you say okay Bumida.
Yeah, okay Bumida. Oh my gosh. Okay, so let's move on to our first game that we're gonna play on the B&B. So this was a suggestion from a listener, Asher.
I gotta tell that kid, listen, he can tell me directly if he wants to send in games to the B&B, okay? You don't need to go through the back channels.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, he doesn't want the favoritism, any type of nepotism to, you know, play a role here. Yeah.
Well, they should have used his name.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Okay, well, this is...
He's only 6 months old, so he's only discovered... we'll start him on the Japanese fast path soon, though. Okay. Can't start him young enough, right, Mom?
I don't think this is your child, but it's possible. So Asher had the suggestion, and so I created a game all about how the Grinch stole Christmas. So this game is How Survivor Stole Christmas. So,
oh my God, yay!
Well, yeah, we'll see. Exactly. Now that Thanksgiving is over, we'll see how this goes.
High expectations from a mom, right?
Stop
now.
Getting excited. Too high expectations. So yeah. So now that you know Thanksgiving is over, the holidays are right around the corner, and so we are going to play a game where you are going to have to guess whether or not this was a name of a... I'm going to read the a word series of words, I guess, and you'll have to guess whether or not this was the name of a toy or an instrument from How the Grinch Stole Christmas, or an anagram of one of the names of the Survivor contestants on this season.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Goodness. You know what? You guys are just so fucking creative. Like, I just, like, who in their, like, I, you know what?
This is one of the weirder ideas.
Thank you, Asher. I'll tell you later when you're in your crib taking your nap. Exactly. How much I appreciate this game to figure out which is Seuss and which is Survivor. This is incredible.
Okay, so let me give you an example, okay? So if I were to say tattle noise, you would have to guess whether or not that was the name of a toy or an instrument from How the Grinch Stole Christmas or an anagram of one of the contestants. So tattle noise is an anagram of Elaine Stott. So the correct answer would be a Survivor contestant. And then if you do think that it's a Survivor contestant, you can guess which one it is for a bonus point, I guess, because that's where we are.
Oh, my God.
Let me give you another example.
And Elaine does like to tattle, though, wasn't she? Was she the person who told Elizabeth that or was it Karishma that told Elizabeth that there were votes going on?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. They're very tattle noise. So another example of this would be the Floopers, which is the name of a instrument from How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Okay?
Okay.
So here we go.
Damn it. I wish I would have watched the Grinch before
required
that.
Prep.
I know. We're getting punished for following Jess McKenna's advice and like parsing out our Christmas watching.
Exactly.
I know, right?
All right. So Mike, we'll start this game with you. Okay? Zuzitter Karze.
Oh my God. Zuzitter Karze. Yes. All right, so I'm trying to think about if a Survivor contestant has multiple Z's in their name. I feel like that's going to be the indicator. I don't think they do off the bat here, so I'm going to say that's Seuss.
Okay, that's correct. That is from The Grinch. I don't know what it is, but it's the Zuzitter Karze. I think it's the name of a toy. All right, Aman, this is for you. Natch Nick okay. Jig.
Natch Nick yes. Jig. Natch Nick Jig.
Nick
that
Jig.
I feel like the Seussian is me, in me is not speaking to that. I feel like that is an anagram of a Survivor contestant.
Okay, so that is correct. Now, for a bonus point, would you like to guess which Survivor contestant Natch Nick Jig is an anagram of?
Natch Nick Jig.
Ooh, oh, I think I know.
And there are contestants so, from
this season,
correct?
Yes, this is contestants from this season, but ones that have been voted out are still included.
Oh, okay. Oh my God, I can't even remember half of their names.
Oh, no, that's the problem.
Natch Nick Jig. Who has an N in their name? Oh my God, I'm so sad.
Right, take a wild guess. What do you think?
Lauren, but there's no L's in there, so that was a bad guess.
Okay, Mike, would you like to try to guess?
I believe it's Jack Nickton.
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, yeah.
That's, again, Mike's cheating because he got to meet everybody. So, like...
Oh, yeah, true.
So don't
true.
Worry about it.
Yeah. I'm much like Amon, it calls Fabio Judd. I know all of their, you know, God-given baptized
names.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah. The niche take took me off because I didn't know his last name. I just knew
right,
Jack.
Right. Yeah. And that's what the end.
Whatever, Mike.
From. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's okay. We won't give Mike a bonus point here. All right, Mike. This is for you. Odalisk Walken. Odalisk Walken.
Well, sounds like a relative of Christopher Walken.
Mm-hmm. It does.
I am going to say it's a Survivor contestant, and I think Odalisk Walken is Mr. Detective Dean Kowalski.
So that is correct, both. Yes, it is Dean Kowalski. The other anagram I had for Dean was Koalas Winked, which I thought was very cute.
Oh, I want to call him that from now on. Koalas Winked.
Yes, Detective Koalas Winked.
Because he considers himself like on the appeal level of appealing as Koalas Winking in terms of everyone wanting to keep him around for that reason.
Yeah, right, exactly. okay, Amon, this is for you. Tar Tinkers.
Okay. Oh, that definitely sounds Seussian.
Yes. Yeah, that's correct. So the problem is a lot of them have alliteration. So, all right. Yes. So,
right,
Mike,
yeah.
Hucarnio flunks.
Hucarnio flunks. That sounds very long. I'm trying to think if anybody has a long name like that. I'm going to say that's Seuss.
That is correct. Oh my gosh, I thought that one was going to get you.
Yeah, I would have said.
Yeah, and then just trying to guess, you're like, I don't know. Yeah, Hucarnio flunks. All right, Aman. Rankle cube.
Rankle cube? Oh my god, I have no idea. I feel like this could be both.
A wrinkle cube.
Maybe it is. That's the trick.
That's right. Yeah. Oh man, if only I could have found one that fit both.
Yeah, you should pull the Boston Robert like, oh, you should have known there'd be a third invisible option.
Should have negotiated. Wrinkle cube.
I feel like Mike knows. That's why he's laughing so hard.
I just love the term wrinkle cube.
Wrinkle cube. Okay, I don't know what it is, but I kind of want one for Christmas. So whoever's listening, hey. Okay, I'm gonna say Survivor contestant.
Yes, that's correct. Now which one is it?
Yay!
Who is wrinkle cube?
Wrinkle cube. Is it wrinkle with a C or wrinkle with a K?
It is spelled R-A-N-K-L-E.
So ankle with an R in front of it.
Yeah.
No. I was going to say Karishma, but there's no M.
Oh, yes, because of the K. I don't...
Wait, is it?
Yes,
wait, is it Lauren?
That's correct. It is Lauren Beck. Yes. Some other anagrams of Lauren's name are ankle cuber. In case you don't want a rankle cube, you would prefer an ankle cuber or lace bunker.
We did talk a lot about trenches this episode, so I guess you want to be in the lace bunker.
With your rankle cube,
oh
I
my
guess.
God, that trench metaphor.
With the odalisk walk.
Rankle cube sounds like if you like walked back from Island of the Idols with an idol, like you would put it in your sock and it would sort of look like
yes, that makes sense. Okay, Mike, this is for you. Lollywhackers.
Is it L-A-L-I?
L-A-L-E-E. Whackers. So that's one word. The lolly space whackers.
Okay. I'm going to say Survivor contestant Chelsea Walker.
Oh my god, yeah. Yes,
what?
That's correct. How did you do that?
That was a shot in the dark.
Because the W?
Yeah, it's like a lot of these contestants have like W's and Y's in their name. So that's usually like my indicator, which is why I was the Z's I immediately guessed was Seussian because I don't believe anyone has a Z in their name.
Okay. Now I know for next time I play this game. All right, Aman. Who Whompers?
It literally has the word who.
I was going to say, like, is she trying to trick you, or is it that on the nose and how applicable it is to how the Grinch stole Christmas?
Who Whompers?
Who Whompers? Well, that would be two W's, right? And I feel like, well, Who Whompers? I'm going to believe that this is, you know, what it is. And it's Seussian. Like, who's were buying Whompers?
That is correct. That. Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Good. All right. So, Mike, this is for you. Boop snort. No, boob snort. Oh, that's so much better. Boob snort.
Boob snort.
Boob snort.
Oh my god. I hope Seuss didn't let that get past the publishers. So, because I know Liana, I have a feeling that is a Survivor contestant. But I have to think boob snort. Snort. I'm trying to think, okay, who has two O's in their name, two B's? I'm gonna say Survivor contestant Ronnie.
So it was Boston Rob. So a little bit of a cheat here.
You did trick me.
Boob Snort was too good to pass up, okay? Boston Rob also can be Snob Robot, which I thought was also pretty good.
Actually, I feel like the way he acts on Island of the Idols sometimes might come across as a Snob Robot.
More like a Snob Boob Snort.
Perfect.
Yeah. I can only have this rice, beep boop.
All right. Okay. We have one final one, and this is for Amon. Semen mytho.
Oh my god.
Wow.
We went real blue at the end here.
I know, right? Semen, wait, so what was it? Semen
mytho.
Semen mytho.
So semen, I mean, like the sailor, myth like a myth, and ho like yo mama.
Whoa! Oh, so semen.
It's just H-O.
Okay. I feel like there would be no semen in the Grinch, even if it were the seaman on the boat. So that's definitely Survivor that contestant. Semen mytho. Semen mytho.
I like the repeating it over and over. Just, I love it.
It's like, I don't know about y'all, but my Christmas list is getting real long.
Especially
now.
With that rankle cube.
Listen, I got three things I'm going to put right at the top there.
I mean, it's Cyber Monday is coming up, okay? Semen mytho. Semen mytho.
All right. Take a wild guess. What do you got?
I'm just going to go with Missy.
No, it was not Missy. It was Tommy Sheehan. Yes.
Oh, damn it.
So,
well, that makes sense. When you're driving in an Indy race and you decide to put your foot to the gas, it can produce the myth of semen all over a particular lady of the night.
And somebody who, may be our potential winner. I've seen a lot of people feeling good about his chances, which if Tommy wins, I'm sorry, you mean Semen Mytho just won Survivor.
Yeah, you better make out that check to Semen
Mytho.
Yeah,
exactly. All right. Well, it was a very close game. Mike, you only won by 1 point. So, congrats to both of you, really.
Thank you. That was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, now we have brand new names to call these people.
Exactly. Boob Snort is still my favorite.
I still like Koala's Winked.
Yes.
Or what was the other one for Dean?
Yes, Koala's Winked or Odalisk Walken. And Jack was...
Odalisk Walken actually sounds like, if we're speaking about Star Wars, does sound like a prequel
character. It really does. Odalisk. Oh, man. Odalisk Walken.
Before we move on to more fun and games, we're going to take a quick break to listen to a word from our sponsors.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we are back, so let's keep on keeping on.
So speaking of, what was the Lauren's anagram name?
Rankle Cube.
Yeah, let's go to the Rankle Cube here, because I want to talk about her test on the Island of the Idols, which I think we're all in the same boat here with our little boatman, that it's been a little bit of a mixed bag when it comes to the Island of the Idols. Lauren gets a lesson here in situational awareness, and her test is that she has to essentially bet on how contestants would do in the immunity challenge. Now, I'm wondering, is this something we could or should bring into other components of Survivor, where it's not necessarily us at home betting on the game, but the players in the game are able to bet for or against their opponents to earn maybe some sort of advantage or disadvantage.
Yeah, I thought this was a really interesting concept, like a game within the game, above the game. And then Boston Rob, I assume, is just the, you know, the bookie here in this situation. It was very interesting. It was cool to see her sort of work through the logic behind everything. I just don't know, you know, you need some sort of third party, though, if you're going to make this work, I think.
Could it be like, I mean, can we move the bookie role over to Jeff and maybe like at a challenge or at tribal council have like some allotted time with the booth set up where you can like place your bets, you know, before something should happen.
Wait, is this insider trading though, or some whatever that is for like betting? Because she had influence over what the outcome was, right? Like her and Tommy went on this whole thing to try to get everybody to sit out, right? She's influencing the outcome of the bet.
Mm-hmm.
That's not fair. That's or is it point. Fair?
Oh,
I don't know.
Wait a minute. Who knew that Lauren was the Martha Stewart of this season?
Yeah, like you sort of like it. It's changed because you have to. You want something to happen so you can get the advantage. But like, is it actually what you predicted, or are you just trying to get everybody to do that? And is that OK? Because it's still like a game of Survivor, which ultimately is a game of influence. So like, I don't know. It was a very strange. I don't know. Some of these challenges just in general have been very like, you know, I've been side eyeing a lot of them, but I don't know. I mean, I don't necessarily know if I hate this one. It definitely was interesting to see her work the logic. I don't know. It's strange. Like, I feel like a lot of these challenges this season have been like, okay, well, Boston, Rob and Sandra are here now. Like, we paid for them, so we got to give them something, you know? And I'm just like, I don't.
Like, we're running out of ideas already.
Yeah. And I feel like you have all this time to come up with something. I guess I'm just expecting more.
Was situational awareness the right term also? According to the internet, situational awareness is the perception of environmental elements and events with respect to time or space, the comprehension of their meaning, and projection of their future status. So I guess the only part is the projection of their future status, but that's not even, I guess it's projection of the people, potentially.
I mean, I guess in colloquial terms, it's can you read the room, right? But to your point, it's also like, can you influence the outcome to get the desire that you want?
Yeah, right. It's more like, can you get this thing to happen? You know what? This is more of what was Nora's thing? What did they describe Nora's thing as? Because this is more like that, right?
Yeah, I think it was like the power of persuasion, I believe was that one. Speaking of the flashbacks.
Yeah, that's like kind of what this is. Power of persuasion plus like situational awareness. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, in that case, I don't know, because I feel like the primary thing was, you know, betting on who was going to win, less so about like the corollary, I think, was, OK, you have to convince everyone else to sit out. Like, if that was the goal, then maybe persuasion would be more of a thing. I don't have too much of a problem with the idea of situational awareness, because it's just this idea of like, OK, knowing your opponents, who do you think is going to do well? I just think that whether it was Lauren or whether it was the idols, I can't remember who came up with the idea of like, oh, yeah, you can convince everyone to sit out. That's when it starts becoming a bit more, to your point, Liana, of convincing others and less so about like, okay, let me see, you know, who's going to compete and who's not going to. Though it seems like all her reads were pretty accurate. And actually, the montage we got back at camp of, you know, Lauren and Tommy going through people and having them sort of sound off in confessionals about it was very similar to everyone talking about not wanting to go to Island of the Idols before Nora went. So a lot of comparisons between episode 4 and 11 here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just going back to if we were to incorporate more betting into Survivor. I feel like it would get very complicated very quickly. So like, what are things you could bet on anything, right? So you could bet on like, does so-and-so play, like have an idol, does so-and-so play an idol, like who's gonna win at different challenges. You could, oh man, throwing the challenges could get more complicated. Who's getting voted out, you could bet on that. Oh, the other tribe should
bet. My god, what would you call that season?
Yeah, I don't know, Survivor the Gambler.
It'd be like Survivor Meadowlands, where like everyone just gambles on everyone at all times.
Yeah, talk about turning away new fans. Like, let's make the most complicated game of Survivor. Yeah.
Wait, they're voting people out, but they're also betting on voting people out. Yeah,
exactly. And then it's like, oh, do you let the people who are going to tribal council bet, or is it just the other tribe? Yeah.
I will say, if there is one season that could actually give poker players a decently good job at doing well in Survivor, it's going to be that season.
Yeah, that's...
Like, if they don't do well there, they're hopeless.
Bring back all the poker players. Get Ronnie. You know, like, this is their season.
Hell, even put Vanessa Russo in there. Let's see how she fares.
Be so good.
All right, so I'm going to keep on this holiday note for our next game here because, you know, these past few days and moving forward, we are celebrating some fantastic deals online in the stores on every piece of merchandise possible, even some Who Wompers. So what I figured I would do is maybe for some new fans or for those that are looking to rewatch seasons, what I did was I went on to Amazon and I looked at some of the reviews for previous Survivor seasons. So essentially, I have homebrewed a casuals corner for Amazon.
Oh, yes.
And it produced some very interesting results. So here's how it's going to work. I'm going to have you two work together on this one because I will admit these are pretty difficult. So let's, you know, breed cooperation, not competition here. I'm going to read a review. I'll read, you know, the name, how many stars they gave it, and what the review contains. And you're going to guess what season it's about.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Okay.
Now, I will give a hint. I'll give a hint as to whether it's in the first 10 seasons, the 10s, the 20s, or the 30s. So that sort of narrows your window. But it does span the path of Survivor so far. And, yeah, there are some very, very interesting comments from these Amazon users. I'll admit a lot of them were them disparaging Amazon in general and the Amazon playing system. So I had to really pick through some haystacks to get a couple of needles that actually pertain to the content itself.
Okay, so wait. So are these reviews from stream? Can you stream Survivor on Amazon?
So you can stream seasons 1, 3, and then like 12 through something. But okay. They're also DVDs, okay, yeah. And they sort of compile the reviews together.
Okay, great. Okay.
All right. So let's start here. So again, you two talk it out together and then give me a final answer when you're ready. This first review comes from Clark R. Orwick. Mm-hmm. He gave the season 2 stars.
Is that an anagram?
Yes, exactly. For Owl Rock Click. And the title of the review is How Sad. Oh. Lesser evolved creatures like Tony Russell and his troglodyte nephew lower the standards and ruin this already difficult series. I'll give you a hint. This is a season in the 10s.
Wait, what?
So 11 through 19. You have to guess which season that was a review for.
Wait, Tony?
Wait, say the review again?
Yep. So it doesn't need to... I mean, it's your guess. Again, let's remember these people also might not be the most educated Survivor fans, but this is for one season, for a season between seasons 11 and 19. Lesser evolved creatures like Tony Russell and his troglodyte nephew lower the standards and ruin this already difficult series.
So okay, so let's work through this. So do we think the Tony that they're talking about is Tony, the winner of Survivor Kagyan? Or is there another Tony that we could be missing that might help influence this answer?
I feel like he is like the titular Tony. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I feel like this is like somebody that's watching them out of order and is leading, leading reviews, having information from older seasons or from newer seasons, maybe. That's so many references all in one review. Goodness
gracious. Well, because it's weird, because it's like it references back. I mean, because so Russell's first season was 19, was Survivor Samoa. So because that's if you're going to talk about somebody reference, otherwise it's just a shot in the dark, I feel like. So my feeling is to go with 19 Survivor Samoa, because I have no better guess.
I agree.
That is correct. You're on the board here. Okay. It was about Survivor Samoa. This is one reason why I immediately realized I should narrow down the seasons, because this spans between Russell, the troglodyte nephew's few appearances, and Tony as well. It spans a lot of seasons. So yes, it was indeed Survivor Samoa, which Clark felt was a 2-star season based on the fact that Russell just existed on it.
Okay. Well, that's fair.
Next up, here's a review from Angela Mulligan, who wants to call a mulligan on this season. She gave this particular season 1 star and titled her review in all caps, "Weakest season by far." one of the weakest seasons I've ever seen. I was embarrassed by the behavior of the women, disgusted by the behavior of the men, and bored through most of it. There was not even a single likable or intelligent player in the bunch. We didn't root for anyone to win. Even Jeff Probst was at his worst, with his manipulative and leading questions at tribal and biased commentary during challenges. Skip this one. This is a season in the 20s.
No idea.
Well, they made a point of talking about the men and women separately, so I would guess one world.
That would be my guess as well. Because otherwise, I mean, you've got a lot of not so great seasons in that range, so who knows what it could be. But I think...
But Kim was so good to watch, though. But maybe... I guess everyone... But I'm trying to think who else was on that season.
Exactly.
That was with Sabrina...
Chelsea.
Was there... Who else was like super unlikable?
Definitely not Troyzan. Amazing. No, I like that guess. I like One World, so I'm cool with that, Amon, if you are.
You like One World, but that. Angela does not. That's the correct answer.
Yes. Good call.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, Angela just... I know wow. One World is a pretty despised season by fans, but she toured a new
the
one.
Worst by far. And not even Jeff Probst is safe from her critiques.
Yeah, but his manipulative and leading questions at tribal.
I need to rewatch One World, I think.
You know, interestingly enough, I did used to think that when I first started watching Survivor, I did used to get so annoyed with Jeff because during Tribal Council, it seemed like his sole purpose was to just out everybody's plans. I was just like, why do you keep asking these questions? Like, you're going to get them to tell you what happens before it happens. Like, you're ruining the suspense for me. But now I really appreciate the way that he deliberates Tribal Councils now. It's such a weird shift for me because I definitely sympathize mm-hmm. with that one. I get it. I get you, girl.
All right, let's move into our next review here. Very small. Kip Nininga gave this season 1 star. Way too much skin.
Wait, that
way
was
too
it?
Much skin?
Yep, and it's from the first 10 seasons.
I was going to say, I would hope, because, I mean, girl, that's not going anywhere.
The Amazon, because of Jenna and Heidi? Like, that's the only thing that really pops into my head. What season? Was there a season where they were really particularly naked?
Liana, this is like all you because I'm going to make a confession of I've only seen Survivors 1, 2, and 7 and 8. I haven't seen all the other ones.
Okay. So, you got to really watch 6. All right. Yeah. Let's go with Survivor the Amazon.
I'm sorry. It was Survivor Africa.
Oh, yes. Of course. All the nudity.
Well, I think maybe Kip was perturbed by a big Tom sticking a feather in his butt crack.
That's very possible.
I mean, to be fair, like, I know I totally agree. Like, the Jenna and Heidi thing was the first place to go to, but I guess it was also really hot in the Savannah. Mm. That, I mean, I don't remember them wearing much clothes, so maybe the very conservative Kip took some umbrage there as well.
Sorry, Kip. He's definitely not going to like the later seasons, especially when they don't give him their swimsuits. Poor
yeah,
Kip.
Exactly. Well, let's stick with the nudity aspect and move on to another 1-star review from Marsha Myers. This one's titled @$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$
What?
OMG, a butt cheek. Censor. And that's the review, and this is from the tens.
Okay, so from the ten,
oh
so
God.
That's 10 to
Yes, 10 to 19.
10 to 19. Do we remember any OMG, notable moonings?
Censor.
OMG, a butt cheek. Oh, wait. Something is coming back to me. I see an ass. I see a blurred ass. I feel like I have a vague memory of somebody mooning the tribe as they're coming back on the boat or something. Or maybe that's a later season. Somebody mooned somebody. Oh,
somebody
my God.
Somebody mooned somebody. So I also have a vague memory of this as well.
I want to say Cook Islands for some reason.
Okay, sure. Let's go with Cook Islands. Was there a particular mooning? We need to rewatch Survivor and look out for...
Yeah, because I've been trying to prepare for season 40, And I went and watched Yule season. And for whatever reason, I have a vague memory of somebody mooning somebody. But I've been watching the seasons back to back. I don't know. But
so,
that was the season that I watched
the
recently.
The only mooning that I can think of off the top of my head was, I'm pretty sure in 35, they mooned the people that got on the reward or something like that. But that,
oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, but
of.
I don't know. Okay, sure. Whatever. Let's go with Survivor Fiji.
Well, you initially said Cook Islands.
Oh, Cook Islands.
You said Fiji.
Wait.
It's fine. They're both wrong.
Oh.
The answer was Survivor China. I don't know if you remember a lovely Montanan woman by the name of Amanda Kimmel, but she was called Blurranda for quite some time by the Survivor community because for some reason, her bathing suits just would not stay on.
Yes. Okay. So a less intentional butt cheek than we thought.
Yeah, it was not purposeful. Yeah. At least I don't know. I don't know how jocular Amanda is in that. Considering she said my mom is going to kill me when it first happened. But yeah, Marcia, I believe this is sarcastic. Right? I believe Marcia's actually complaining that they are censoring the butt cheeks and that they should be showing uncensored crack.
Fascinating. Yes.
Yeah, I want to sit down with Marcia. Maybe she should run the FCC. I think there's a lot of ideas.
Ah, let the butt cheeks free.
All right, let's move on here to review from F. Greenlee. Let's move to the positives here. We've got a 5-star season from F. Greenlee called Nutcases Galore. Fascinating season. The Battle of the Loony Bins. Sometimes one really has to wonder why they let the crazies keep playing when they are so obviously killing the tribe. Maybe there are things that get lost in the editing. Or maybe it's because the nutcases are so entertaining. And this is a season in the 20s.
Season in the 20s. Okay, so who had a lot of nutcases? Nicaragua had a lot of crazy people. Let's see. Cagayan actually would be another good one. I mean, if you're going to talk about crazies.
I keep thinking about Philip Shepherd, too, whatever his seasons
are.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we got a lot of ones to pick from. Okay, which had the most crazies? Wait, Mike, can you reread the review one more time?
Fascinating season. The Battle of the Loony Bins. Sometimes one really has to wonder why they let the crazies keep playing when they are so obviously killing the tribe. Maybe there are things that get lost in the editing. Or maybe it's because the nutcases are so entertaining.
I'm feeling Cagayan on this one, but Amana, it's I'll leave it up to you to make the final decision.
What's the logic behind Cagayan?
I just feel like it's all about the number of the crazies. Cause like, okay, so Philip, if in Redemption Island, right? I mean, okay, he made it to the final three, definitely crazy, but were there a lot of other crazies, right? Cause I feel like this is about the collective crazy of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like especially with, and Cagayan is also a good season, so I could see giving it 5 stars. That's my feeling, but.
Okay, yeah, he did say fascinating season. All right, I'll go with that. Cagayan.
I'm sorry, it was Survivor Karamoan.
Wow!
So you're on that Philip Shepherd train for quite... You were on his trail, but the former federal agent lost you at a certain point. I mean, I don't know if I'd call Karamoan fascinating, but I guess F does make a good point in the Loony Bin, considering you have Philip, you have Brandon Hance in there. I mean, those are really the two big ones, but I'm sure... Other people have crazy moments.
Yeah, that's true.
I guess him saying why they keep letting the crazies play should have been a tip off.
Right, of course.
Yeah, no, obviously killing the tribe could be a reference to Brandon wanting to provide his own Christmas present and peeing in the beans and rice.
Well, I don't know. According to the first reviewer, he's the what did he call him?
He's a troglodyte.
His troglodyte nephew. Yeah, Russell's troglodyte nephew ruins Survivor. Lowbrow.
This feels like very scathing. It feels like a very Brendan from Big Brother type of thing, like calling people troglodytes or Neanderthals.
Yeah, I should use that as an insult more. Troglodyte. Got it.
And if you unscramble that, I'm sure some sort of contestant for season 41.
Right.
All right, let's move on here to another positive review from Shane, who I should mention is also a top contributor in guitars on Amazon. And he's got a great song to sing, and it is a very lengthy song, so bear with me here. This review is called Dumb and Dumber. This season of Survivor, I thought, should be called Dumb and Dumber. I found it to be one of the funniest seasons to watch that is out on video. The thing that was great was it's girls versus guys. You get to watch how each tribe handles this. Watching this season with my girlfriend was fun. I found the guys to be irritatingly stupid, and she found the girls to be irritatingly catty and stupid. There are a few surprises and lots of irritation to the viewer as you watch these people create so much drama and problems for themselves. I like the variety of women on the show and watching them interact. The guys were pretty boring and stupid, I thought, but didn't detract from the show, only making it better because you couldn't believe how stupid they were playing. I found myself wanting to keep them playing so dumb so I could say, told you so. I was very surprised at the final two and was compelled enough throughout the entire season. Not the best played Survivor per se, but fun on its own merit of pretty much what not to do. Worth watching. And that's from the first 10
seasons.
Yeah,
okay, so it's either Vanuatu or Amazon. I mean, you could really...
Both of which I have not seen, so I don't know.
I mean,
you
could really go either way. So the women were stupid, and so were the men.
yeah, I mean, I believe Shane uses the word stupid at least half dozen times over the course of this review.
Right, but this is a 5-star season.
Four-star
season.
Stupidity only gets you too far, Leon.
Right, of course. I don't know. This is honestly could be a complete coin flip. I could see making an argument for it fitting either Amazon or Vanuatu. Do I have a coin on me? No. Okay. All right, Amon.
You don't have a coin on you? That's stupid.
It's just stupid. 4 stars. Okay, Amon, pick a number between 1 and 10.
7.
Okay, I don't know what my long-term game plan. I'm holding up two fingers. So, I don't know what that means. We'll go
Wait, just to clarify your logic here. You held up two fingers and told them to pick a number between 1 and 10.
Yeah. So, I didn't really think that through.
I mean, this sounds like the next way they'll send somebody to Island of the Idols, to be completely honest.
All right, so how about this? Okay, so the difference between the two numbers is 5, which is an odd number, so we'll go with 1, so we'll go with Survivor the Amazon.
It's wrong.
Damn it!
Survivor Vanuatu.
I mean, Vanuatu. So, 5, which is... I don't know, never mind.
I'm obsessed with this choosing method now. I want all decisions to be made using Liana's strategy. Yeah. Liana's two-finger plan.
I really don't. I was like, it's fine. I'm smart. I'll figure it out. And then it happened, and then I didn't.
I'll hold up the fingers and let the rest take its course.
Just, it's like the Michael Scott quote, where it's like, sometimes I start a sentence and I hope I find my way. That was kind of what I was going for.
That actually kind of sounds like this review as well, considering how meandering it is about how stupid everybody is. But yeah, apparently Vanuatu, according to Shane, one of the dumbest seasons ever of Survivor.
That makes sense.
All right, let's move on here to a review from Kartek, who gives this season 3 stars and titles the review, Boring. Hmm. I was very pleased with the winner. He/she deserved it. Unfortunately, this was the most boring season of Survivor I have ever watched. I was so looking forward to it. So much so that I bought the season instead of waiting for it to be offered on Prime. The contestants appeared old and tired. They knew and understood how to play the game so much that the suspense was taken from the game. Each had a strategy that was very clear, and they never wavered from it. As a result, the season just dragged. If you have not bought the season already, don't. Wait until it's offered on Prime. And this is a season from the 30s.
I mean, game changers. Right? Because it's like returning player season. Oh, I guess it could be Cambodia.
Which
are they out on Prime yet? And are either of them on DVD?
To be fair, the 30s are out on Prime, but they're like, you have to buy the episodes.
Oh, you have to buy the. Oh, okay. They're not like free streaming. Okay.
No, I'm pretty sure that's only through like 28, I think, or 29.
All right. So, I mean, it's definitely a returning player season, I think. I guess the question is whether we think it's Cambodia or Game Changers.
All right, Leon, get those fingers out.
They said he/she. So maybe it's making me... That could just be not to spoil the season for people, but I also feel like it could be, you know, the final two is men and women, or final three, rather. So which
they all had
Cambodia is Jeremy, Spencer, and Tasha.
And then Sarah Braddon, of course, the amazing Troy Zan.
I feel like Cambodia was more, at least in my opinion, I feel like Cambodia was more riveting than Game Changers for me, at least. So I would go for Game Changers.
All right, yeah, let's go with Game Changers then. I'm cool with that.
I'm sorry, it was Survivor Cambodia.
We should have done the finger method.
Finger method never fails, except for that one time when it failed.
One time we used it, and it failed.
Yeah, Kartek says that the season one's horrifically boring because everyone knew how they wanted to play and never wavered.
Ah, yes, of course.
Well, whatever. I liked Cambodia. I think he's patently.
I think more people probably agree with you.
Yeah, I would say Kartek's definitely in the minority there. But gave it 3 stars, at least, and they acknowledge that it's not a 1-star season.
Yeah, I'd also like to know Kartek's opinion on Game Changers. So.
Well, let's move on here. Let's sort of stay in the more critical space. This is a review from someone called Arg, which sounds like a troglodyte name, with 2 stars. The review's titled, Can't Finish the Series.
Ooh.
Nice scenery, but the drama is too much. It's a lot like work drama. I chose it because I'm planning a trip there and thought it would be a nice intro. It wasn't. And this is from the first 10 seasons.
What?
Watching Survivor would be a nice window into your vacation plans. You literally chose a show where people pretend to be homeless for 39 days and you thought that was going to be good for your vacation prospect?
It's like work drama. Okay.
Well, listen, I would want to go there, but it feels like there's not enough food or water, apparently.
Yeah, I think I'm going to
change. And
they
make them run a lot of physical challenges.
Oh, I don't want my vacation to be like that.
You said this is 1 through 10?
Yep. Oh, God. Where would someone take a vacation?
So what's a popular vacation space?
Exactly.
Yeah. I feel like the Australian outback is not...
Thailand. What if they're going to Thailand?
Thailand
works. It's not like survive. Like I'm planning a vacation to Africa. Like would have gone to look to see. Oh, they're in Kenya. You know. So I think like that one we can probably rule out. Also, Survivor All Stars is not a I mean, they're in Panama, but like you know, it's like not a location.
Not
also,
like,
Survivor the Amazon. I mean, maybe they're going to visit the Amazon, but that could also have similar things. Work drama. I don't know. Richard Hatch talked a lot about work.
I mean,
stuff.
It makes sense why they would want to plan a vacation if work is really like Survivor for them.
I feel like Thailand is my like gut, but I don't know. I have no idea.
I feel like that's the most vacationy. I'm looking at the list now, and I feel like
I'm traveling to All Stars.
Right. Like, exactly. Like, I feel like if you're watching, if you're like, oh, let me look at this season because that's where I'm trying to go. Like. Thailand seems
we already had one for Vanuatu, so let's just eliminate like really. Oh, we also had one for Africa, so we can I think eliminate those two.
All right. Well, I'm holding up my 2 fingers and I'm saying
okay,
Thailand.
All right, the fingers say Thailand.
How dare you underestimate the planning skills of ARG, you two? The correct answer is Survivor Africa.
What?
Are you serious?
Oh, come on. Wait. Okay. Is that like Africa's a country?
I don't know. I feel like ARG
ARG.
I don't know. Maybe unless ARG was going into the African savannah and not given any access to civilization. That's the good access point. But even so, like, I'm going to Africa. What's African for me to watch? Oh, Survivor Africa.
I wonder what ARG's vacation was like.
I don't know if they ended up going to Africa.
Oh, yeah. After the season. Yeah, that's a good point. I couldn't even finish it.
Yeah, they were only planning a trip there. They had not bought the tickets yet.
I wonder how far ARG got, because if they had gotten to the goat trading, that would have been a very interesting experience.
Yeah, like, I don't want to do that.
I will not trade goats for a living.
Listen, I'll donate the aid supplies to the school. That sounds nice. Do I have to kill the goats, too?
Right. Oh, my goodness. All right. We're doing terribly after the first two.
I know. We were doing so well in the beginning. Well, and now,
once you guys started bringing out the fingers, then your game really went south.
Oh, no.
Well, let's move on here to another 2-star review from Fritz S. I don't know who the winner was since I quit watching about 3/4 of the way in, another org-like jumper off. This was about the sorriest group of contestants ever. The only reason I hung in as long was for the gorgeous scenery of blank, and blank is the location of which I, you know, removed the name. This season seemed particularly scripted with the steady advancement of the anorexic contestant who looks like a refugee from a gulag.
Oh, no.
Watch for the scenery and hold your nose for the rest. Liana, what is that? What is that word about your dogs smelling bad in Farsi?
Oh, boomida.
Boomida. That's the way they should have finished this off.
Yes, indeed. Wow. What numbered seasons was this from?
This is in the tens.
In the tens. Okay, so that is 10 through 19.
Wait, can you read it one more time?
I don't know who the winner was since I quit watching about 3/4 of the way in. This was about the sorriest group of contestants ever. The only reason I hung in as long was for the gorgeous scenery of location. This season seemed particularly scripted with the steady advancement of the anorexic contestant who looked like a refugee from a gulag. Watch for the scenery and hold your nose for the rest.
All right, so the skinniest contestant I can think of from this group of seasons was Courtney from Survivor China. So that's my gut.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Steady advancement.
Who would say steady Weird. Advancement of Courtney?
Well, I guess she made it all
the way. She got to final three.
She was in the finals,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, she got, yeah. So,
Yeah, I'll
okay,
go with
all
that.
Right, that's my feeling. Okay, so we're going to go Survivor China.
You're back on the money, that's correct.
Yay!
Yeah, it is interesting that Fritz said the lone thing that kept him attracted to the season was the scenery of China, because I think one of the things that people comment on is just how terrible the scenery is in Survivor China. Like, they were living in mud pits next to a lake for 39 days, but that was Fritz's lone reason why he kept watching Survivor China, despite the quote-unquote steady advancement of the anorexic contestant who looked like a refugee from a gulag.
Yeah, well, I was thinking, I was like, compared to all of the other seasons in the 10, like, I feel like all of them have better scenery than China, but here we are.
All right, let's move on here. This is a nice 5-star review from Mark Daniels, and this review is titled, 2-Day Bender, I've gained 10 happy pounds.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
No spoilers! Oh. This season was amazing. I accidentally stumbled onto this season, I hadn't watched Survivor since the third season, so I knew nothing about any of the cast. So once I caught the first episode, I immediately was hooked, the entire season. The games are exciting, the rewards were awesome, and seriously, some of the best backstabbing ever. This season, however, also had a lot of heart, I truly did love the final four, good and bad, They all deserve to be there, I watched the entire series in 2 days, Gorgeous scenery, excellent editing, music on point, Probst is excellent.
Wow.
Cannot recommend this season enough, I'm not ruining any surprises here, I'm not, but three words, fake immunity idol equals brilliant. And this is a season from the tents.
Okay, fake immunity idol from the tens. Okay. So, let's see. I mean, Gabon is like the first one that pops out to me when we're talking about fake idols.
Sugar.
However, Micronesia may also be... with, you know, it's just an effing stick, might be a good one.
Yeah, and people
to go
love
with.
Parvati's season.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, If I had to guess, I would probably say Micronesia. Also just, it's a great season, in general. So.
Because I don't know if anybody's like that, you know, I mean, I think we, people loved Bob Crawley, but I don't know if anybody's like that psyched that he's a winner. You know what I mean? So I feel like to love the final four.
Yeah, they loved the final four. Okay, well, also, okay, well, I don't want to forget Fiji, but I don't think it's Fiji because Yao Man made a fake idol. I mean, the final four of Micronesia, I mean, that's like a pretty iconic Final Four.
Right.
You know, because you've got Parv, Amanda, Ceri, and Natalie, right? And they took out Eric at the Final Four. Yeah. So, yeah, I think we got to go Micronesia on this one.
I'm sorry. What? It was Survivor token cheats.
What?
Really?
Yep.
No. What?
I'm not sure if Mark. Actually, no. I know that Mark did comment on the right season because what I had redacted was him listing Taj, Steven, JT, Coach. I love them all. Yeah, I mean, if you recall,
I guess
this is not a big hallmark of the season as much as it was with the previous two.
Didn't Taj and Steven?
They did make a fake immunity idol that Joe Dowdle found, but never had the opportunity to play.
Ah, yes, right. Of course. The classic fake idol from Survivor token chains. What?
Really? He loved that? Who else is in the Final Four? I know it was JT and Steven in the Final Two.
And
who
was Aaron?
Yes, the classic Final Four. Are you kidding me? Are you sure it's not Micronesia?
He said he loved them good and bad.
I think it's Micronesia.
He literally listed the contestants, and I removed their names to not make it obvious.
I think he misspelled
them. They got confused. He went on a two-day bender, and you know, he those are anagrams.
That's true.
For the actual
names. He was on a two-day bender. Can we really trust him?
That's true. Do we trust a man who gained 10 pounds while watching a season of Survivor in 2 days?
Yeah, exactly. What?
All right, let's move on here. Blessed by God has a 5-star review. One of the very best Survivor shows. Some of the tribal councils are pure joy, while one in particular is downright scary. You'll know which one when it's happening. If you watch the movie Cujo, you'll remember how, at the end, you were lulled into a false sense of security, and then whammo! Rabbit Cujo, who was supposed to be dead, comes lunging through a window right at you, scaring the pee out of you. That's how some of the ladies are feeling after one of the tribal councils. So I wonder how it will turn out. Will they regain footing, or will it be like Cujo after his big lunge through the window dropped dead? Also, I don't remember whether Cujo dropped dead in front of the man he was going after or on top of him. I do wonder, ..
Is the details of Cujo necessary for the review? I like that those were included.
Frankly, I am not sure, but I do like Blessed by God questioning themselves in terms of the recall of Cujo at the end.
Also, you're on the internet to write the review. Like, just Google it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think what you realize is a lot of these reviews are just stream of thoughts.
Yes, stream of consciousness. Okay. All right. All right. So what, sorry, what did you say what number?
Oh, this is from the 20s.
From the 20s.
Blessed by God. That is high praise.
Okay, so it was something about the women being shocked, right?
Yeah. Women being shocked, latest tribal council. I mean, with that...
One world again?
Yeah, would it be one world again?
Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think if there were any, like, strong female alliances. What about, is there, okay, it's like one shocking tribal council. What was the shocking tribal council from One World? What if it's, wait, okay, it's the women that were shocked? Because the other thing I can think of is like San Juan del Sur. Maybe.
With which tribal council?
I don't know. the one where Natalie Anderson ends up going on the warpath. Okay, I have no idea. You want to do the finger method, or do you have a guess?
I can only think of One World, but
he tricked us with the Africa. So, all right, yeah, let's go One World. Yeah, or what thoughts? Yes, no.
Yeah, right, you will sure. Do it. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Cujo came and attacked your answer and tore it to bits. The answer was Survivor Philippines.
Yes.
And to be frank, I have no idea what they're talking about here.
Of course, the classic women's alliance from Survivor Philippines.
I mean, in terms of like a downright scary tribal council, I mean, they might be referring to the one where Jeff Kent went home, because that was like the crazy one where Malcolm revealed he had an idol and Lisa and Abby Maria revealed that she had one. But like, I wouldn't call it scary. I wouldn't say that the ladies had to regain their footing. And I wouldn't give the imagery of a dog lunging at them and dropping dead either in front of them or on top of them.
Right. Like, that's such dramatic imagery. And to put that on Philippines? What?
I really have no idea.
Like, who, when they said drop dead, I meant, like, I was thinking that they mean like somebody got like,
oh, like medically evacuated.
I was thinking, okay, is this a reference to Russell Swan? He didn't get evacuated this time, but there was a moment when he did. It's all sorts of confusing. From they may be blessed by God, but they may not be blessed with recall when it comes to both Stephen King words and Survivor.
All right.
All right, one more here for you. It's a short one, but it's an equally confusing one from Jarell Chaplow. The review's called A Tropical Time Sink, A Laughable Fabrication.
What? That's it?
That's a Tropical Time Sink, A Laughable Fabrication.
And that's from the 20s.
Ah, of course.
A Tropical Time Sink. Okay, well, that doesn't narrow it down because they're all tropical. Laughable Fabrication.
I had to end on it because it's like poetry.
And how many stars?
This is one star.
Oh.
Oh, okay. That changes the tone.
Laughable Fabrication. Is it Redemption Island? You're talking about something feeling fabricated.
I mean, hey.
I'll give you a hint. It was a season we've talked about earlier in this podcast.
Ah.
Is it Nicaragua?
It's Nicaragua!
Yes!
Come through, Jed.
This is I'm obsessed with this phrase. It's so beautiful.
I like
a tropical time sink, a laughable fabrication.
People don't like that season at all, which is so weird to me because it's my first season. So it, you know how first seasons are. So like I always enjoy it because it's the first one I ever watched. But the more and more that I talk to people about, like, I hate that season. I'm like, oh my God, I love that season.
I like Nicaragua. It's a lot of crazies, which is good.
Which is why you were initially going to pick it.
Yeah.
Back when we were talking about the nutcase.
Exactly.
The nutcase.
Yes. Well, this podcast is a laughable fabrication.
And, I mean, a non-tropical time sink is probably the best way to describe us. But I would say that both of you did a 5-star caliber job in really sifting through the opinions of some of these very, very eclectic people and sifting out what season they may be talking about. I think you got at least half of them, which is like pretty damn good.
And we were like close-ish on some of them.
Yeah, you were always within like a 3-season range, I feel like.
Yeah, see, even though we narrowed our range down to 10, but that's still.
Yeah. Okay. Narrow that down to 2 fingers.
Right.
2-finger plan works. Okay?
It works. Yeah, don't it's question. Works.
This is science.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Amon Nokomis.
Yeah, the 2-fingered plan. Okay, all right. Well, much like Cujo, let's jump into our next segment now.
Yeah, I think that works.
All right, okay. So I have an important question that I think we need to talk about because after like watching Lauren and Tommy this season, it just highlighted for me how important it is to have a wingman. Because I think about all of the pairs on Survivor, you know, like Malcolm and Denise or Dom and Wendell and Lauren and Tommy this season. I think it just emphasizes the importance of having a wingman because I know that in Survivor, it's like, oh, should you come in with a strategy? Like, well, maybe, but you kind of have to play it by ear. I think finding one person that you can just trust implicitly should be your only strategy, because I think time and time again we see the benefits of this. So this is what I don't have a particular question, just I think it's important and I wanted to bring it up. And I think that if there's one thing you should do if you're going to play Survivor, it's find your wingman.
All right, let me answer that point with a question. How much do we think Dominic and Wendell have affected the view of pairs both positively and negatively in Survivor? To your point, do you think that this concept of wingman was really, you know, populous in a lot of seasons before that ended up becoming so prominent?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, we actually see like Lauren and Tommy being targeted because they are a pair. So like, yeah, there's a risk to it. But you're saying with Dom and Wendell, making that like a known strategy, or what do you mean?
Well, I'll relay my own experiences when I was out there talking with them. And I did ask that question to your point, Leon, of like, okay, like, what are the qualities you seek in your tightest ally? And a lot of people said, I want that Dom-Wendell partnership. Yeah. I want that one person that I can confide in. And I wonder if, obviously, there have been tight pairs in the past, but considering that that's probably the most successful pair, maybe besides JT and Steven,
right,
that have made it to the end so prominently, has really just as of late highlighted it as a good, albeit a winning strategy for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, because they really brought it to the forefront. I mean, to get you and your closest ally to the final three and then to essentially split the votes between the two of you, like, that's absolutely insane. So, yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, definitely they brought it to the forefront. I think, though, looking back, I mean, even before them, there's so, like, there's just so much value in having that person that you can almost trust implicitly. I guess maybe it's just really hard to find, and that's why more people don't do it. I mean, I guess because if you were saying, like, oh, yeah, people were looking for a closest ally. But I think just finding someone you trust implicitly, you got to have that wingman, man.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it just makes you a calmer player because you have a sounding board. You have someone that you can just bounce ideas off of with and tackle obstacles together. And, you know, and especially in the game of Survivor, like, you know, if one of you finds an idol, the both of you have an idol. Like, so it's, I agree. I mean, I think that's definitely something that I would want to do going into Survivor. I mean, and Big Brother for that matter, because we've seen a lot of that happen with Big Brother too. I think just, I do sometimes wonder just how well those kinds of things form, though, because so many of them come together in the beginning stages of the game. And I feel like at that point in the game, I would be so suspicious of people. Like, are you really my final two? Or are you just saying that because you just want to cover your bases with me? So I always wonder just when is the turning point for these dynamic duos where they actually begin to believe one another? Because I feel like there has to be a layer of suspicion in the beginning, and you can't just outrightly be like, okay, you're my final two on day two. Like, come on now. Like, so I do wonder, like, for Dominic and Wendell, when did you guys actually decide, oh, I'm in it with you till the end, like, this is it, like, I trust you, like, implicitly, like, let's rock this game until the very, very end.
Yeah, and I feel like with that, it might depend on, like, an instigating incident. Like, I think what happened with Dominic and Wendell that kept them together so quickly is because, you know, Dom alienated himself in the beginning when he speaks out against Chris Noble. Also, they end up staying on the same swap tribe, so, like, they end up, you know, bonding together a bit more closely and, like, hey, we're Navidis, we gotta stick together. It's interesting, because Lauren and Tommy, I mean, I guess they did stay on the same tribe with Vokai, and they did end up on the backside of the numbers in those last couple of votes, so maybe that helped. But it's interesting you bring this up, Liana, because not only do we have the Tommy and Lauren side of things, and obviously the literal wingman in Sandra getting pecked by that chicken, but there's this conversation at Tribal Council about how, you know, Karishma is obviously a big free agent. I think Elizabeth declares herself a big free agent, and Elaine, like, makes it very prominent of, you have to pick a core and row with those people. You know, I'm going to roll with them, or I'm going to roll fucking home. Mm-hmm. Sorry. She even apologizes about it. And it's interesting because, yeah, you would think maybe with some people, like, a free agent is great. That's what Rob Cesarino was able to do, was sort of pick up the loose change and be able to move forward with it. But it seems like with this season in particular, I mean, Elizabeth and Karishma are going to be the target of the main alliance. And that reason is because they have no one to really go to bat for them. All of Elizabeth's people went home. And I guess Karishma is just so flippy floppy that nobody feels like she has a lot of worth as a loyal player. And so I guess at this point, at least with this season, they are really valuing someone that's close to them, and people get targeted if they don't have that.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that you could, like, sell yourself, like, Karishma could try to sell herself as, oh, I am this free agent, but I think she just comes across as too much of a loose cannon for anybody to really believe her. So I guess if you are going to play the free agent, you have to, but then how do you play the free agent and show that you're loyal, you know what I mean? Because they're like, oh, I'm a free agent. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, so right. So I guess to that point, so obviously Karishma saved herself with the idol, and that was an amazing moment. Like, I love Dean sort of being like, just goofball Dean. Yeah. Like, I didn't know what this was, so I played it. And then Karishma plays the idol, and you see his face drop.
Ooh.
In addition to everyone else's faces. Obviously, Karishma has survived another tribal council, and she would have received the majority of the votes. And also, congratulations to Karishma. I think she's, like, the first female player since Kelly Wentworth to use an idol correctly, which is freaking awesome. But I guess the question is, like, did that endear herself to people, or did it make her seem like, oh, she's such a free agent that she's finding idols on her own and not telling anybody about it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Exactly. Like, what is it that really contributes to her being this, like, you know, crazy free agent type character? I'm sorry. I have to say, like, I love the fact that it's Karishma. Of all the women who have found idols this season, like, she's the one that played it correctly. It's really somehow just a beautiful thing.
Yeah. I mean, this was a crazy tribal council, just with everything going on. Lauren zoning out in the middle of it. I'm glad she didn't zone out when the idols were being played, because then she ends up playing hers, which I can understand. Mm-hmm. I feel like since, you know, people started going home with idols in their pockets, it's become a case of like better safe than sorry. You know, that's why Janet played hers. That's why Lauren played hers here. So like, I really do not begrudge anybody for just wasting their idols, but it is interesting. And I believe Grishma is also going for the record of most votes cast against her in an entire season. Which I think was set by Laura Moret in Survivor Blood versus Water. So Karishma's a record breaker in so many ways. Who would have thought?
Yeah, because I think she's at 17, right? And 19 is the record. Or I think I saw that on Twitter somewhere.
And I think Laura got, actually, she might hold the record now because I think Laura got voted out with 19. So like she has not been voted out and she has 17 against her. So she might, technically speaking, she might already hold the record. But I mean, she's in the history books for a number of reasons, this Karishma.
Yeah, she's quite the character. As annoying as she can, as I find her sometimes, I also just, you know, I've been really enjoying watching her arc this season. It's a very, very strange and loopy trail towards the end. Because what are we, like, 7 people left, yeah. And there's, what, 9 days left in the game? So it's like, I'm shocked that she made it this far. And I do wonder just how much, if at all, I mean, it's probably very unlikely, but just for the sake of speculation, I wonder just how much she would have to do in order to increase her winner's equity, because everybody just sees her as somebody to drag to the end, and it's day 30. So it's like, how do you change that image at this point? Like, is it even possible?
I mean, her playing the idol and negating all those votes, I think is, you know, if you're going to take a step forward.
Yeah. I mean, the jury seems shocked. I mean, Missy, who, you know, has definitely become like our Eliza Orland's go-to facial reaction person, which I'm happy to have. I feel like we were missing that on the jury the past few episodes, but I mean, she was really astounded, particularly that she had canceled out 7 votes, I think it was. So, yeah, I mean, that's definitely something you can sort of put in your cap. I guess the question is, you know, I feel like especially a modern Survivor, you can't necessarily get to the end on your own unless you're finding idols, you know, back to back to back. So I guess, you know, while she is endearing herself to the jury, maybe it's still a bit of a question mark as to how she's going to get there, to the point where I would say, I think she's public enemy number one next week, mm-hmm. which is super unfortunate. But also knowing this season, this is a banana season. Literally anything can happen between episodes. So who knows? I know Dean was very, you know, frustrated at the fact that they keep not considering Karishma, and before they know it, she's going to be sitting at the end. We'll see if that makes her a continued target, or if that's going to be like a quote that they should have really heeded, and she ends up sitting at the end because everyone just sort of ignored her.
Yeah, we'll have to see how things play out. It really, who knows what's going to happen as we march towards the end.
The other thing I will say, I want Dean to stick around as much as possible because he is such a doof. But this fake advantage really makes me hope that he at least makes the first part of the finale. Because let's remember, he thinks this fake legacy advantage is good at the final 9 and the final 6. So he's going to walk into the final 6 if he's there with all intentions of playing this fake piece of paper that Jamal scrawled on and gave to him about 20 days ago. And he is in for a world of hurt.
I need to see his face when he tries to play that legacy advantage. Although the one caveat, if he does get voted out, is when he's in that final confessional right after he gets voted out and he tries to give it to someone else and he like writes down someone else's name and he tries to hand it to the producers being like, yes, I'd like to give this to, you know, Nora who's still in the game. And they're like, do they give it to Nora or do they just throw it away at that point? Because that would be very interesting.
Do they tell him at that point that it's fake, or do they say like, yeah, Dean, we'll definitely give it to her and like put it in their back pocket?
Or they do. They give it to Nora. They're just like, okay.
I feel like they have to, right? Because you have to facilitate, you know, the game. You have to like,
right?
But that is kind of strange. Like, I feel like I would be so mad at production if they did that to me. Because like, so you knew this was fake and you still let this happen to me. Like, I feel like I would be so pissed. But I guess they really don't have a choice, do they?
I would also say Dean has to give it to Nora because we need to see Nora's reaction to getting a fake legacy advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. Yeah, she'd stand there the entire time. I also love, it's just so many things to love about this episode before we get things off, of her, you know, wanting to stay in the challenge to make everyone eat and just laughing at being like, I'm so sorry. That's not how any of this works.
exactly. Although I did love when Lauren was betting on, you know, who she thought was going to win. And it was like Nora. And I was like, well, yes, just don't bet. Like if Nora accidentally jumps down for some reason, although then she tried to stay up there to let them keep eating.
Yeah. Imagine if they were like, she's and then so veggie that- patties. Woo!
Yeah.
That was just so sweet. Like I would be so like if I won immunity, I would not be checking for anybody's breakfast. Okay, I would be running over to Jeff, getting my immunity necklace. Like, come on. But she's so sweet. It's just so sweet.
I love it. And Nora looks like some interesting Nora content next episode. I feel like she had some fun. There's always some great Nora stuff going on each and every episode. We'll continue on with that going into next week. But let's finish things off with our final segment of each and every week here on the BNB, the question of the week. Last week's question of the week, in honor of the fallen Missy, what would you paint on a tree in the style of Hope is Dope? We'll go through some of your answers from the listener side, go through some of our thoughts as well. The great Jacob Sager Weinstein says, if I were going to put a message on a tree, it would say, dig here to vote Jacob out. I just watched the tree until I saw somebody digging around it, and then I know who my enemies are. This is such a brilliant and flawless strategy. I don't know why nobody else has thought of it. Alternatively, I would write the words hidden immunity idol on the tree. Anybody who managed to rip the tree out of the ground would have to carry it until the next tribal council, putting a huge target on their back. The only danger is that when Jeff says this is not a hidden immunity idol and throws the massive tree in the fire, it could possibly cause a forest fire.
Yeah, burns down all of Fiji. I like these strategies. I like the idea of using it as some sort of game mechanic. The hidden immunity idol, I did not think that the tree was the hidden immunity idol. I thought it was like, oh, it's buried at the bottom. But it would be way funnier to see somebody try to carry a whole tree to tribal.
Yeah, imagine, like, where would they put that? You know, like you can put it in your trusty bra or your trusty armpit, like Christmas said.
I was going to say, you need a very big shoe or hat.
Yeah, unless you're like Chris Underwood. I don't know if you're getting away with stuff in a tree somewhere.
Ew.
Well, interestingly, on the other side of things, Dave Baker said that he would write, this is not a hidden immunity item.
Ah, then what do you do? This is not an advantage.
Yeah, I think it's, would it be reverse cycle? Or what did Jeff say about this one? He didn't say this is not an advantage. I think he says, like, it holds no real power or something.
Ooh, that's fun. This holds no real power. Is that what he said about the fake legacy advantage, you mean?
Yeah, this is not an advantage and has absolutely no power.
That's such a, like, slap to Dean in the face. But the fun part is that Dean thinks it could, like, ugh. Yeah. God, there's so
Jeff,
much humor to
I
have
I got
here.
Your wink, wink. Not this time.
Ayo.
And I also do like
so wait these are answers from listeners in regards to what they would put on a note and hanging from
a tree.
No, but you would paint on the tree.
Oh, okay, gotcha. I was lost for just 2 seconds.
Michelle says you're barking up the wrong tree.
No, that's cute,
which I think could be a fun way to sort of like screw with people's psychology. Logan says, in honor of Casual's Corner, shut up Rhonda.
Yes, shut up Rhonda.
How much do you think that would confuse people?
More or less than your soup question, I think it's really
question. I really primed them for just very confusing things. Maybe that's what happened. I don't want to pat myself on the back too much, but maybe the idea of comparing themselves to soup just made them realize they should play balls to the wall and it's produced this absolutely insane game.
That's right. This is your fault. I don't know. But Survivor Reference Island or like Inside Joke Island is really what we're heading towards.
Yeah, I was going to say that's basically Survivor at this point, right?
Right.
Like, oh, you'd have to be there really to get it.
Yeah.
That's the play out last. John says, I would paint my Twitter and Instagram handle. That way people can find me easily on social media. Mom, what would you think about, obviously, Big Brother contestants like to do this all the time in their eviction speeches. What would you think about making its way onto Survivor?
I wouldn't be too perturbed. You know, I mean, I feel like I'm already so used to it that I'd just be like, you know, hey, you know, get it how you live. Make that hustle. You know what I mean? We're all trying to make it out here. So do what you got to do, honey.
Well, I mean, Dan Ringering maybe was the closest with Hot Cop. I'm just trying to think.
Yeah, true.
Of, like, who else? Yeah,
that.
Otherwise, yeah, it's just Big Brother. Like,
I thought at some point there was a merch flag that had someone's social media handle painted on it, but I can't remember.
Maybe someone talked about it in an Amazon review. Keep looking.
Oh,
Mike.
Yeah, I do remember that now. Somebody did do that.
Hmm.
Yeah, I can't remember. I also know that there was a secret scene earlier this season where Dean referenced himself as DK Chillin, which is his handle on social media, too.
Of course he did.
Yeah, he'll that's what he'll do. He would put, instead of his name, he'll put like DK Chillin on the back of that real legacy advantage to play at the final six.
Yeah, that way you know who it is.
Yeah. Finally, so Dan Sinansky says, I would paint logos all the way around a tree at eye level. There's just a ring of blur with tree above it and tree below it.
Wait, paint logos all the way. Logos of what? Survivor?
Yeah, I'm not entirely. I'm not sure if it's Survivor logos, which you would have to be very good to be able to paint those. Because those are very detailed. But I guess maybe just like a ring of color around, so that you know there's just a, like a big blurry mess with a bunch of trees surrounding.
Or it could be like what was this? Was it 35 that you would paint the logo on the coconut and then there was an idol inside?
Well, so yeah, there was 35 was when it was painted on a tree. It was etched in the tree.
Okay,
and then 33 was when there was just a coconut painted with like a symbol on.
Yeah. Okay, so that kind of reminds me of that.
I personally would think of going the way of graffiti. Just to sort of like paint quite literally a target on somebody. So if you write like Dean is a doo-doo head on the tree, I think that you could really be like, oh, I saw, you know, Janet messing around with the paint. Maybe she was the one who said it.
I feel like this is too much workplace drama, Mike.
Yeah.
This is no Survivor Africa. Yeah. But I like that. I like that concept, too. So I was thinking, could I use it, you know, for GAM, which I thought could be cool. But I think I would just use it to troll my fellow contestants. So the one idea that I had was, right, look behind you. And then when they turn around, then I write on another tree, psych.
Yeah, or like, got him.
Yeah, exactly. Or like, if you're reading this, you're stupid.
Ooh, how about this? You paint on a tree, you just lost the game.
Ooh, and then I think it's
works
canon.
On so many levels.
Yeah, the game within the game. Or like, what's that game where you have your fingers with the circle and then, you know, you like your thumb and forefinger make the circle
and
if somebody looks
before?
At it? Yeah, that's always the finger game. And then if they look at it, then they lose, right? Or something.
Yeah,
you just
like
draw
you
one
just
of those.
Pop out of a tree, yeah. And punch him in the shoulder.
Yeah.
I feel like I would like paint something. I'd probably paint, I'd make it say like hug for immunity. And like the entire tribe would just be hugging the tree the entire day. And I could just search the camp for an immunity idol.
Well, I like that. Yeah. Like a distraction.
Right. Like send people off somewhere or something on like, you know, get them away from camp so that you can look for the idol. I like that plan. You know,
exactly.
Well, you know what you can do is like, you know, those pictures that were popular for a while where like, it'd be a picture and they put like little text in the left corner that's like, oh, look in the top right corner. And then you put text there. It's like, oh, yeah. look at the soccer player's forehead. Like do that with a bunch of trees in the jungle and just lead people on this wild goose chase while you go look for idols.
Yes, exactly.
I'm sure the editors would love that.
So next week's question of the week, we heard about the goat army. Admittedly, I think the previews were a bit duplicitous in that we thought that Dean was going to be part of the goat army. And that's why he was play acting so energetically, but it turns out that no, apparently Nora and Karishma are part of the goat army and he was an enemy of the goat army. So our question for next week is, who would you enlist in the goat army? Now I'm gonna expand this here. You can either do previous Survivor players, or why the hell not, you can pick people from your life that you want to put into the goat army, whatever the hell that means. Your mileage may vary, but just let us know who you would want to enlist into the goat army. Maybe their role as well. You know, we had goat number one in Karishma, goat number two in Nora. Maybe we need like a goat parachuter. We need a goat lieutenant. We need a whole hierarchy in the goat army. So you have a bunch of ways you can reach out to us with this information. You can always tweet us using the hashtag RHAPBNB. Email us RHAPBNB@gmail.com. Or you can respond in any of the numerous threads that this pops up in across the internet. We'll be reviewing all your goat army rankings and much more next week as we get into the family visit with our guest Frail Mary. Mary Krakowski is going to make her first Survivor appearance on the BNB to talk through episode 12 of Survivor Island of the Idols. Yes, among your fellow BB live feed updaters coming to join us.
Yes, live feed represent.
All right, so Amon, as we bid adieu to you, thank you so much for coming on and submitting yourself to all the madness, both Susian and non-Susian, that we have indulged in over the past couple of hours. If people want to catch up on your opinions on various things, whether it be reality TV or otherwise, how can people keep track of you on social media?
You can follow me at Amon Adwin on Twitter, also Instagram, but I really, I'm not an Instagram person, so mainly just Twitter. That's where you shall find me. That's where I shall be.
All right. And Liana, how can people catch up with what you're doing both on social media and in their earbuds?
Yes. So you can find me on social media at Liana Boris on all platforms. The Masked Singer took another break this week because Fox doesn't know how to air TV shows, apparently. But Puya and I will be back next week with maybe a double episode. Look, again, I don't know. Fox doesn't know how to air TV shows, like I said. So we're off this week. So enjoy your holidays and then we'll be back in your earbuds next week with a brand new episode.
I'm very intrigued. You know, I know you guys are very much into, like, I don't want to go online and look into things, but looking at these Amazon reviews made me intrigued. Maybe at the end of the season, you guys can do like a casuals corner about the show, because I'm very intrigued to find out just what, like, your regular Joe or Jane feels about the Masked Singer.
Oh, that's a really good idea. Yeah, maybe we'll do that. Especially because, yeah, once it's all said and done, then we can look at what all the crazy casuals have to say. Although we are crazy casuals too, though. So like, when we find our opinions are exactly the same as everybody else's, like, oh.
Yeah, it's the meme of the two Spider-Men pointing at each other, yeah. Basically. You can follow me at a Mike Bloom type. I have not received word as of yet as to whether I will be talking with Elizabeth in an exit interview this week. If we do, obviously it's going to come a bit later because of the holiday. But if you haven't caught up on my interviews with Aaron and Missy, I highly, highly recommend it. I think they gave very interesting perspectives on their actions throughout the game. So be sure to check all that out on parade.com/tag/survivor. Josh Wiggler and I are still moving our way through Lost down the hatch. We're actually about to record a bunch of episodes because Josh is going on vacation in January. So if you have any thoughts about the rest of season one, email us, tweet us, do whatever you want to, because we are going very hard with Lost for the rest of season one. And who knows, you might hear Leon and I talking in some other capacities in some other RHAP podcasts over the course of these next couple weeks. Who's to say? But that's going to do it for this week's edition of the RHAP B&B. Special thanks to Scott St. Pierre for editing this behind the scenes. Paul Osselson for our theme song, Paul Osselson for being our head writer, and Will from America for our theme song. Don't want to mix up roles there. If you guys have games that you want to suggest, like our lovely Grinch versus Survivor anagram game, be sure to reach out to us. We are more than willing to try out any games here on the B&B. We'll be back next week with Mary Kwiatkowski to break down the family visit episode of Survivor 39. But for now, we'll check you out at your next step.
Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the RHAPBMB. Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the You can say for free.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.